Time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
Tom Brady is my Lord and Savior.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
He got him! Astros win the American League West. The train keeps rolling for the Houston Astros. 5 out of 6 years, 5 straight full-season division titles. An incredible run.
Todd Callis on the call last night at Tropicana Field as the Houston Astros win the AL West title for the 5th time in 6 years. As you heard him say, they get that first round bye to the ALDS. Astros win 4-0. I'm excited for some October baseball. I am Vanessa Richardson. That's Paul Gallant. Sean Mapes behind the glass, as always. Guys, this was fun. I mean, I feel like I use that word a lot to describe this Astros team, but I love they win.
It hits a little differently, too, when you say that they have a first-round bye. That is hard to process, just given all of the baseball that I've watched in my life, I'm sure for you, too. It's great to see that they did it, and that they were able to clinch last night in a game where they actually played against a good team. And, I mean, you saw some good right from the get-go. You had Jose Altuve hitting a home run. And pause for a second on the home run. I could not stop watching the replay of this, Vanessa. So, there's a guy in the stands next to, I'm assuming, his wife.
Okay.
The ball is coming directly at him. And he, like, swatted at it instead of trying to catch it or block it. And I'm pretty
sure... You
gotta
break up with him.
Vanessa, I think he swatted it into his wife.
Yeah, you gotta break up with him. It's over.
I went back and I watched this a couple of times, and I didn't see a closer replay. And I'll admit, my mind was distracted from the 7,000 football games on last night.
Sean, I don't believe he was distracted.
But I kept on going back to this, and I was like, is there an alternative angle so we can see whether or not that husband, Florida man, slaps baseball into his wife? Because it looked like she got smacked by a baseball that had been deflected by her hubby.
He got it in the relationship after that. But it was poetic that Jose Altuve, the longest-tenured Houston Astro, hit that home run to start the game, as you said. It was really cool to see guys like Mancini, who have never won a division, so joyful in the clubhouse. Hector Neris, all the players, when they were being interviewed by Julia Morales, who did a fantastic job, said that Hector Neris was the one leading the party. He was really the party guy there. Justin Verlander has won a couple of these, and he wasn't expecting this, but Dusty Baker asked him to speak to the team before their celebration began. Julia asked him what he said and what that vibe was like. Here's JV.
Justin Verlander, and you kick things off this time around. The speech giver. What was the message to everybody?
Just not take it for granted. You know, Dusty asked me to say something. I wasn't expecting it, but, you know, just kind of spoke from my heart, and which is, you know, after being away for a couple of years, and, you know, you just realize how special these moments are. You know, you never know when you're going to be here or be back or what's going to happen in your life that, you know, you look at Hector, who's been in the league for 8 years and never made the playoffs.
So he then told a story about Sean Casey being in Cincinnati, never having, you know, won anything. And look, you can put on your tinfoil hat for Justin Verlander saying you never know when you're going to be here and gone. But I did like seeing Justin really involved in this because there were reports and there, you know, were speculation rumors that the Astros didn't really feel like he was a part of the team while he was rehabbing because he stayed in Florida, etc. So that was cool.
Yeah. You know, though, putting the tinfoil hat back on, it will be very interesting to see what happens after the season. And, of course, we got to go through a postseason to get there. Jim Crane clearly likes Justin Verlander a lot, but the Astros do have a lot of depth in that rotation of theirs and in the bullpen. And we finally saw Hunter Brown out of the bullpen last night. And, look, this is a good Rays team. To see Hunter Brown blow by Randy Arozarena the way that he did, a very good player for Tampa Bay, it makes me feel pretty good about this guy being used in a spot like that because we'd only seen him starting. We saw Christian Vasquez actually catching him in last night's game. So, Hunter Brown has, I think, lived up to the expectations. And I tend to believe when anyone does well in the minors for the Astros, just given the way that that league works, that AAA league works, where all the numbers are super inflated, I tend to assume that it's not going to go the same way. But, man, he has been a surprisingly good from the get-go addition, and hopefully this is something that doesn't peter out. He doesn't hit the proverbial rookie wall in October.
I think he's on the playoff roster, obviously, and he's an absolute weapon. He's been impressive. It's nice to see when you talk about guys like Justin Verlander, whether it's they're exiting or they're just getting up there in age, it's nice to see young pitching and somebody come through the system that is a success. Do you think this calls for a little song?
We have not played this song in a really long time, and I got a kick out of looking it up on YouTube and seeing multiple comments that were...
I forgot the song existed, by the way.
Vanessa and Gallant sent us here. Well, I mean, you can't, because it's the greatest song ever. I mean, look, they were popping champagne last night. Poor
smoking
Julia.
Smoking cigars.
Julia, like, looked like she had just been hit by a tidal wave. This song is our version of a champagne bath. Hit it!
I don't know.
Why do the fielders crash into walls?
I don't know.
Oh.
Why do you think the pitchers throw smoke?
Why?
Why do you think they go for broke?
I don't know.
Why?
Who says it's only a game?
Who said?
Why do the catchers wear iron masks?
No way.
Why do they
wear iron anymore?
Why do they go head first into home?
There we go.
Why do the losers feel
the banger
alone? Who says it's only a game?
Who says?
When you want it, you give it all you've got. The war's not over till the final shot. Who says it's only a game?
Here it comes.
Why do you think they call them spikes?
I don't know.
Why do you think they call them strikes? Why do they give
I like it in the background.
Why do they always reach for the top? Who says
here it comes.
It's only a game?
You ready, everybody?
Let's do it.
Astro baseball. Who says it's only a game? AOS champ. What?
5 out of 6 years, baby. First round ALDS bye. That is what we like to see.
Officially the best regular season run in team history, and obviously...
Who sings that, by the way? Sorry, pause.
On YouTube, somebody, I think, dug it up, and I think the guy passed away.
R.I.P.
I'm not sure who. Whoever he is, though, as someone who appreciates songs like Push It to the
Thank
Limit
you,
from
sir.
Scarface.
Da, 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 da. That one?
No, no, that's Push It.
Yeah, that's by Salt and Peppa.
Yeah, Push It to the Limit.
Chilling.
I'm not actually sure who Push It to the Limit's by. Yeah, Push It to the Limit's like the song that they play while in Scarface, they're counting up all the money. And Tony Montana buys a tiger. And it's a banger of a song. Push It to the Limit. Limit. Standing on the razor's edge.
Paul Ingman.
Okay. He's the guy who makes the song.
Push
okay.
It to the Limit. Not Astros, It's Only Game. That's posted by The Stick Malone on YouTube.
There you go.
Gotcha.
Got to give credit where it's due. Yes, as you said, Astros get to focus on getting the best record in the AL. Their magic number to clinch the top seed is 7 over the Yankees.
Wow, that's surprising. It's still that far away, and it goes to show you New York actually has been playing a little bit better of late. So when that series eventually happens, which I think we're all expecting to, I think the Astros and the Yankees are the top two in the American League. That ought to be, at the very least, a good matchup. Though I do want to see the Astros win in like 5 or 4.
So somebody that will not be in the playoffs, the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, despite having Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout, they missed the playoffs for the 8th straight year.
You didn't get the name right. The Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, of California.
Of California.
Of the United States of America.
Okay.
Of North America,
what's
formerly of Pangea, of planet Earth, of the solar system of the Milky Way galaxy.
8th straight season eliminated with Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani.
Bums.
It's embarrassing.
They should have all
and you
of
know
their
what?
MVPs commandeered.
They thought that firing Joe Maddon would help. That man came in with a mohawk to motivate his team, and they still fired him.
Right. They don't know what would have happened had he been allowed to motivate them
with
the mohawk. They'll never know.
I actually think it might have worked.
The biggest regret in Angels history, other than giving Albert Pujols that big contract, might be not letting Joe Maddon play it out. By the way, maybe not keeping Albert Pujols around, seeing as Albert Pujols all of a sudden has unlocked the fountain of youth. Possibly performance enhanced? I can't say. Just asking the
question. You questions. Know, somebody had to apologize on ESPN. Was it Max? Was it somebody had to apologize? Kellerman maybe had to apologize for
Probably.
Insinuating that it may not be au natural that he's doing
we're
this
We're just asking the questions. I mean, look, he all of a sudden is good after not having been good for a couple of years. What, he just shows up at the All-Star break and we're supposed to believe that Albert Pujols is Albert Pujols again? But I feel like his pursuit of 700 home runs should be discussed a little bit more than Aaron Judge breaking the franchise record for the New York Yankees in home runs in a season.
All right, so the Dodgers have clinched the NL West, the Astros have clinched the AL West, and the Mets have clinched a playoff berth.
Yeah, the Mets actually got in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to see the Mets. I don't want to see the Mets.
See, I like it because I like Edwin Diaz. I'm on the Edwin Diaz train.
I don't know. You're trying to troll me right now. I mean,
no, I'm not. I love it.
You know I don't like
this. It's genuinely fun.
It's bad for baseball. It's bad. You know what? I liked it when baseball, you know, had an old school mentality to it. Now we got what's next? We're going to have somebody come in on essentially like a moped. He's going to have a keyboard. He's going to be playing himself.
The fact that he plays a trumpet is in alignment with his culture. So I'm sorry that you're not cultured.
Oh, okay. Yeah. My bad. I didn't know. I didn't know that.
It's from the show Narcos.
Is it trumpet?
Timmy the Trumpet.
The trumpet is from Narcos.
It is. Timmy the Trumpet. That song plays in Narcos.
Oh, does it?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I think it's just called Narco.
Oh, is it? Oh.
It's like an EDM song.
I thought I was the musically challenged one.
Wait. There's not a show called Narcos?
There is a show called Narcos.
But
I am not sure if they play this random
Timmy
EDM
Trumpet
song in the show Narcos.
Narco.
This is going to be such a hard thing to look up because they're both called Narcos.
Oh, no.
Does the song Narcos play in the show Narcos?
Oh, yeah. It's just...
No, they play that. You know, got all the words right there.
Yeah, you got it.
Take me out to the ball game. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Glott, we'll try to get our ish together more in the next segment. There was a Monday night doubleheader, by the way. Two of them. Not nearly as exciting as we thought they would be, but we're going to break
murder
it down, in fact, including
murder,
what we liked, what we saw last night. That's next.
This is Ed Too Tall Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
The Swiss Army knife deal. Here's Allen on 2nd and 10. Stepping up into the logo and throw. He's got Diggs wide open. It's caught. Touchdown. 46-yard strike. Josh Allen to Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, that was a lethal combination last night. Allen, that was a 46-yard touchdown to Diggs. They connected three times last night as they absolutely obliterated the Tennessee Titans, 41-7.
Oh,
we'll get
you
to the second.
To see it.
Yeah, we'll get to the second Monday Night Football game in a second. I want the initial reaction from our Tennessee Titans hater, Paul Gallant. Actually, none of us really like the Titans, but I think you especially have that bad flavor in your mouth.
Especially here, because they left. They were stolen from town by a poor who couldn't afford his own stadium. Whatever the case. I want to say this is more about Tennessee just sucking, and you could definitely argue that Derrick Henry might be washed after the performance you saw from him against a Bills defense that in the past hasn't been particularly good. But, oh my God, this is all about the Bills. You know, the hype going into the year did feel a bit much, but they did whatever they wanted offensively all night long. And that Titans defense, even if it is missing some pieces from this offseason that they are expecting to contribute, Harold Landry, they still did whatever they wanted. And I thought Tennessee would at the very least be able to keep it close. They did for a bit, but when the floodgates opened, Jesus. That Bills team, you could talk me into them being undefeated this year.
Oh, absolutely. And here's the thing. Like, sometimes when everybody predicts something, it's for a reason. I do have a question. Where was Derrick Henry last night? Derrick Henry, it was his fewest rushes. Shout out to NFL Network for these stats. Fewest rushes since week 9 of 2019. Fewest rushing yards since week 6 of 2018. Fewest yards per attempt week 6 of 2019.
If you're averaging that few yards per carry, less than two, I mean, what can be done? And the one thing that Henry's always been very good at for Tennessee is getting out to the edge and turning up field, and he had no ability to do that. And again, we're talking about a Bills defense that last year you saw the Colts run all over them, you saw the Patriots run all over them, you saw Derrick Henry run all over them last season in week 6 in a game that Tennessee actually was able to win. No help for Ryan Tannehill, and when you just add it up with a Titans defense that like every other defense, it seems like in the NFL, has no ability to stop Josh Allen. What do you do? I can't help but be just jealous that Buffalo has Josh Allen when we're stuck with Davis Mills here. A 3rd and 10 for Josh Allen. You feel confident that he's going to get it 70% of the time, whether he's going to throw it or he's going to run it. With Davis Mills, you don't feel that at all. And I'm just jealous. That's it.
There's also a confidence in every phase, right? Like, you know that defense is going to handle business as well. Even if they might want, you know, let one slip, you know they're going to handle business. You know the special teams is going to do what it needs to do. I'm also just jealous of the fan base. Man, they have fun.
Yeah, they do.
They have fun. And you know what Buffalo did? Buffalo let the kids out of school early for Monday Night Football.
Small town
vibes.
Not
an exaggeration. I absolutely love that. So that was definitely a blowout. Anything else to add?
I think that they cut down on the they let the kids out early. Because Buffalo is such a small town that they didn't want the traffic to be an absolute disaster.
It's actually a great point.
I don't blame them.
And you know what? Every single child and their family, they're going to be eating wings. They're going to be watching the game. So I love it.
They've outscored their opposition by 55 points thus far. Sunday at Miami will be very interesting given the way that the Dolphins just looked against the Baltimore Ravens. But the next couple of weeks, it is pretty damn tough for Buffalo at Miami, at Baltimore, a home game against a lifeless Pittsburgh team, and at Kansas City before a bye week, and then Green Bay.
The one in Kansas City is, of course, going to be the rematch of that coin toss game. A lot of storylines around that.
If they get through that stretch, there's a damn good chance of them going undefeated, because the second half of the year, they're playing teams like Detroit, Cleveland without Deshaun Watson, the Jets, the Bears, a Bengals team that hasn't looked very good. This has been a very impressive start, but the next month is going to determine whether or not they have a chance at undefeated. 2-0, it's preemptive, but I mean, they look a lot like the 07 Patriots coming out of the gates.
Well, and you have like Von Miller, and listen, I gave you a list yesterday of things that I got wrong, multiple things, so I will say one thing I got right. I knew Von Miller would make a difference, and sure enough, every guy on that defense has said that Von Miller has breathed new life, a new confidence into that defense, because they did let some games slip last year for sure. So I'm excited to see what they can do. I think they're the Super Bowl favorites for a reason.
Definitely now, yeah.
You know, they're bound to, you know,
can't deny them.
What'd you say?
Can't deny them.
Yeah, no, I mean,
I did.
They look unbelievable. There was another game that was also not very exciting, but it was the Eagles versus the Vikings. The Eagles won that one 24-7. Pause. How exciting would a Bills-Eagles Super Bowl be in Phoenix simply because of the fan bases?
I saw a tweet that says that the United States of America does not possess the logistics to host Bills fans and Eagles fans in the same venue. I'm very curious as to how that would go. A couple of comments on the Twitch about how the Bills are impossible to dislike. And I will even say I have a hard time disliking them as someone who grew up a Patriots fan. Bills fans, they're getting a little bit cocky, and that will obviously swing at some point, but they're very fun. Eagles fans are barbaric savages.
Right, right, right.
I wonder if even... if Eagles fans could actually enjoy a Buffalo Bills fan, the odds are... very likely, no. There will be fights, there will be deaths, there will be heads mounted on spikes in the parking lot.
There would be extra police presence for sure. Mm-hmm. A heck of a game for Darius Slay. At one point, Kirk Cousins attempted a pass, and this is what it ended up sounding like.
Blitz. Cousins to the end zone, and intercepted! What a night for Darius Slay!
Okay, so good night for Darius Slay. Did you see the video afterwards of who he dapped up with and gave the game ball to?
I did. I wasn't happy about this.
Yeah, this was odd. So obviously, James Harden, former Houston Rocket, now in Philadelphia with the 76ers, and Daryl Morey. Darius Slay gave the ball to James Harden after the game. Here's that soundbite.
Honestly, I didn't even know he was dead into the game until they put him on the Jumbotron. And you know, he's one of my favorite players. And you know, but shoot, I'm like, why not? You know what I'm saying? I get a chance to meet James Harden, a Hall of Fame basketball player. If I make a play tonight, definitely a pick. I got to give him the ball, man, because he real respected in the league. One of my favorite, like I said. So I was like, hey, it's a good opportunity.
Okay, why not give him the ball? Because you played on Monday Night Football and you got the interception, and maybe you just get his number and go to a game and sit courtside.
Or give it to a kid instead of James Harden, who gets $100,000 for his birthday and a cake, and he throws the cake off the boat.
God. I forgot about that.
Harden has not earned his Philly stripes yet, if you will. You know how if you're a Yankee, you got to earn your pinstripes? I think if you're an Eagles fan and also a Sixers fan and you see that Darius Slay is going over there, you're like, hang on. Darius Slay, do not associate yourself with this guy. That's one of the best performances I've seen by a cornerback in quite some time, because he was lined up for the most part against Justin Jefferson, who, I mean, what we saw in week one, what we've seen for pretty much the entirety of his first couple of years in the NFL, he's been top five wide receiver, top three wide receiver. And Slay not only erased him, Slay, I think, might have been targeted officially more by Kirk Cousins than Justin Jefferson.
Probably some stats on that.
I think there were five plays that Slay made on the ball. He had two interceptions in the game. And a lot of this is Kirk Cousins, just Kirk Cousinsing his way through a primetime game. But that was an awesome performance by Darius Slay. Like, usually when a corner's that good, people just stop throwing his way. And Cousins was like, well, I need to get the ball to Justin Jefferson. Oof.
Cousins in his flannel. Jalen Hurts talked after the game about the fact that it might have been sloppy, but they got the job done.
Whatever's getting us wins, that's how it rolls. You know, I said all week that I just want to win. I don't care how it looks. I don't care if that's me rushing a lot, if that's Miles rushing a lot, if that whatever it looks like, whatever it takes.
I love a quarterback that's not like, oh, we need to be neater, we need to clean things up, we need to. No, like, if you win, you win. I like that.
To an extent, they should have won by a lot more. I think that Hurts is definitely showing that he's better than perhaps expected, but the Vikings gave them a ton of opportunities in this one, and yet this game was still a game for the entirety of the second half, you know? Like, it never felt completely closed. It was just, okay, well, Kirk Cousins obviously can't mount this comeback, but with all the comebacks that we saw this past week across the league, I don't know. There's a part of me that wonders about, like, okay, can I put a lot of stock into Philadelphia as a legitimate Super Bowl contender at 2-0 with the start that they've had after a game against Detroit where they let Detroit hang in there, and a game where, yes, it was 24-7, it was impressive, but it just felt like this should have been an absolute bloodbath, and yet it still
was a game.
It was
almost more Kirk Cousins giving it up.
Yeah, it really felt that way. He
was so
bad.
What'd you think of the doubleheader?
I don't know.
I had a hard time following. They did this thing, like, I tried to watch the Vikings game, the Vikings-Eagles game, and then they turned and they were like, well, in case you've missed the Titans-Bills. It's like, no, if I want to watch Titans-Bills, I'll watch Titans-Bills.
Yeah. I don't know why they decided to do them at the same time either. It would have made a lot of sense if they had one game and then they had another game back-to-back. And I guess they're going to do this more. They're going to do this, I think, three times either next year or the year after that, where they have staggered Monday Night Football. But, it's you're competing against yourself.
But it's Disney, and they're all making that cash.
They are. It's
I thought, why
strange
was it,
still,
why
though.
Was it billed as being on ESPN Plus when it was on ESPN?
It was?
Yeah. Like, I kept seeing it's on ESPN Plus.
I think it was because of the people that are just streaming ESPN Plus that maybe don't have a cable deal or something. That would be my guess. But the whole entirety of it, it's very confusing as to why they thought this was good. If you're an advertiser for any one of the sponsors that were on the Bills game or the Eagles game, how are you feeling knowing that half of your audience was potentially elsewhere game? I don't get it. Weird.
Sean?
I will say it was nice to hear Steve Levy and Brian Griese and Louis Riddick.
There's no Brian Griese.
It was awesome. I'm sure there's.
It was Dan Orlovsky.
Same thing. It was great to hear that old Monday Night booth that we spent years with. It's good to go back in the Wayback Machine and hear those guys.
When you're dealing with two butt whoopings, you go to the game with the better broadcasters. And so Joe and Troy had my full attention.
The second the second game started, I was like, all right, later, guys.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, big week in the NFL and a big week three coming up. We're going to take you through our favorite storylines and things of interest. But first, Paul's going to tell you about BUSR.
BUSR.com/ESPN. You go there, you're going to double your deposit within the first 24 hours of that deposit. I mean, you probably should just bet on the Buffalo Bills to cover the spread every single game that they play the rest of the year. Or maybe you're taking a look ahead at some of the college games this weekend. Texas A&M played in a big primetime game last weekend against Miami. Now they're playing against Arkansas. That ought to be a lot of fun up in Jerry World. They're the 2.5-point favorites at this point in time. Feeling the Aggies right now? Max Johnson under center? I'm on the fence on this one, and I have liked what I've seen from Arkansas to this point. I think I would be taking Arkansas to cover and probably to win in that one. But you can make a bet. Mush me if you want. BUSR.com/ESPN. Again, double your deposit within the first 24 hours. And if roulette is more your thing, if blackjack is more your thing, or if maybe you just want to do futures or prop bets or something like that instead of just betting on the individual games themselves, they have all of it there for you. BUSR.com/ESPN. Sign up to play today.
ESPN 97.5.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Stand! Hush!
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Vanessa and Gallant. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time.
Week 2 is complete, and we are on to Week 3, but not before we talk about some of the best storylines from Week 2 that we might have missed. Justin Fields not doing himself any favors when it comes to assimilating with Chicago Bears fans, a crazy fan base.
It hurts more in the locker room than the Bears fans, I mean, because at the end of the day, they're not putting in any work. I see the guys in the locker room every day. I see how much work they put in. So just coming out with a disappointing loss like this, you know, it hurts. But, you know, we just got to respond.
I mean,
they're not putting in the work. Did you see the bratwursts they were eating in that parking lot? I got to say, look, Bears fans don't even want to be seen on Sunday Night Football anymore so they can constantly get spanked by the Green Bay Packers. No one wants to watch that game less than Bears fans. So actually, Justin Fields, they have suffered and they did put in more than guys have.
It's also like the very, we hear it all the time and it's cheesy, but the proverbial, like, people spend part of their working class paychecks on Bears tickets. So, yes, you guys work harder as players, obviously, because the fans don't play. Probably should steer clear of saying things like this.
Yeah, I agree. Good news for the Texans going into Chicago.
Very good.
In Week 3. Will the Chicago Bears fans be behind the Bears 100%? Will the Texans win because of that? 713-780-3776!
I would love for Lovey to get his first win as the Texans head coach in his old stomping grounds of Chicago. All right, after the Cardinals made it to reverse a 20-0 deficit, a fan allegedly slapped Kyler Murray. Now, I got to tell you, just hand on the Bible, I've watched the video. I don't know that I see a slap.
I watched the video, too, and I had the same conclusion.
But yet, Mike Florio, in everybody's headlines, a fan struck Kyler Murray in the face after Sunday's... Did he strike him? Do we know that he struck him?
Struck? It's a good question. I don't know. Now, think about this. They're in Las Vegas, okay? And it's Raiders fans. So,
I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility.
I mean, they're trashy people, most Raider fans. No offense. I mean, there's an entire biker gang dynamic that they have brought into their fan base, like some sort of wannabe Mad Max cosplayers. So it's not the craziest idea in the world. But I watched it. I missed it. I guess there was actually a police report made.
Yeah.
Very interesting crowd in Vegas because definitely some of those folks are just Southern California Raiders fans from back in the 90s. And, of course, some of the other people that maybe are, like, roaming around the countryside on motorcycles as those Raiders fans.
Hell's Angels.
But it's a weird dynamic at that new stadium of theirs. I saw someone popping a bottle of champagne when the Raiders were just up 23-7 in the third quarter.
Because they have those floor suites, you mean?
Yeah.
Which is weird.
Was that person doing it in celebration or was that person just enjoying the game that they were at that they probably weren't paying any attention
to? Like Rams fans.
It's a weird right. stadium, but that someone slapped Kyler Murray allegedly, I want to believe it because I want the Raiders fan base brand to still feel Raiders.
That champagne pop, it could have just been a bachelor or a bachelorette party.
Great point.
That's just at the Raiders
oh
game.
Oh my
like,
God,
that is possible.
Before the ring. You never know. Update on Dane Jackson, who was hurt last night. This is really scary. He was taken off on a stretcher. This is per the Buffalo Bills about an hour ago. Dane Jackson was transported last night to ECMC and underwent various tests, which determined there was no major injury to his neck or spinal cord. He was released from the hospital and is undergoing further evaluation today. Dangerous game, man. Plays like that last night remind you.
Got hit by his own teammate, too. Yeah, head went back very, very far. I hope he's okay. Stuff like this happens. The NFL is going to try to bring this out of the game as much as they can. But okay, you do it on kickoffs. This can still happen on any play out there. And there will be a lot of people that say, in response to that, we need to continue to add more and more safety measures into the game. You're playing a game like this, you do have a pretty good idea of what you're signing up for. Right, and especially now that the concussion stuff all came out, I actually could put some stock into it before where maybe some of these guys did not know that, yeah, their heads were turning into just putty by the time that they were done playing. But now it's all out there. If you play, you play, and if you don't, you don't. More safety measures are going to make the game a worse sport, but it does suck for Dane Jackson to suffer an injury like that.
Yeah, it does. It was definitely scary for sure. All right, Trey Lance successfully had surgery. He posted a picture of him in a hospital bed, said he appreciates the messages and prayers. He's set to go not until 2023. Do we think he still has a starting job once he's healed?
No. No, I think Jimmy's going to take this. And I wonder, too, just about how the 49ers feel going forward. This is now a guy who is going to go essentially 3 years in a row without playing much football at all. You know, 2020, he's at North Dakota State. They have the pandemic. They don't play any games in the championship subdivision of college football. His rookie year with the 49ers, he plays, what, against the Texans? And this year, he gets one game in. I feel bad for Lance. I don't know if you can really hold anything against him at this point. I'm not feeling great about his potential, but what a just unfortunate circumstance to get into the league and continue to not play football. You get older and older, are you going to get better at the sport? Jimmy G, I think, with that team, they win. I don't know if they go all the way, but they made it to the NFC Championship game with him last year. He is a frustrating quarterback at times, but the team likes playing for him, and that's all you need at some point.
Yep. Bengals quarterback Joe Burrow has been sacked a league-leading 13 times so far this season. This comes after the Bengals invested in bringing in Teddy Karras, Lyle Collins, etc. to their offensive line. You heard the quote, "Your new bodyguard is in town," said the lineman. Not the case, although some of it may be Joe Burrow's fault as he plays a certain type of way. Thoughts on Joe Burrow being the most sacked quarterback in the NFL?
Burrow holds the ball a lot, so part of it is on him. I thought this offensive line would at least be marginally better. This is just as bad as it was in the playoffs, where Burrow got technically sacked 11 times in that game against the Titans because two were called back, I think, either due to false starts, delays of game, offsides. He got pulverized in that game. He has to get the ball out a little bit more quickly, and I think what we've seen the first couple of weeks of the year, and specifically just the other day against Dallas, teams are smart. They're saying, all right, we're just not going to let the big play happen. We know Burrow can't really extend the play the same way that some of these other guys like Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes can. The pressure's eventually going to get there as he looks for those big plays. So Zach Taylor and that offense have to figure out a way to get the ball out quickly. That's a failure on Taylor as much as it is on Burrow and as much as it is on the offensive line. 0-2, they are the biggest disappointment in the NFL through 2 weeks.
The Super Bowl loser hangover is very real with the Bengals, as we've seen several times before. Bruce Arians' sideline gate continues because we were told and informed that the Saints didn't have seats for him, and that's why he was on the sideline. But then somebody with the Saints said that there were 18 seats in the press box, and Arians had a seat there as well as the light.
He was involved in the back and forth between
very much so
Lattimore and Evans and the Saints and the Bucks, and it isn't something I would want if I'm Todd Bowles. I'm the head coach of this team. Why is Bruce Arians on the sideline being Bruce Arians? And Arians does this. There is a part of me that likes Arians the personality, but there is another part of him where he gets a bit too hardo for me from time to time, and this is one of those circumstances. He is a guy who is exceptionally proud of his coaching career, and it's been a pretty good career, but I think there were definitely some disagreements between he and Tom Brady last season that have him now up as like a consultant. If you're a consultant, you're not a coach. Get off the sideline.
Right. Definitely weird. Willie Gay, linebacker for the Kansas City Chiefs, suspended 4 games by the NFL for his January arrest. His suspension begins immediately. This is a tough, tough loss for the Chiefs. He was playing really well. Something tells me they'll be fine.
Yeah, I think they're okay.
All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, I have a new favorite Texans player, and you got to hear why. Plus, would you want this NFL head coach operating on your brain? It almost happened. We'll share that next. First, let me tell you about TGS and my friends at TGS. They're saving money for our listeners. Here's some examples. Gerald and Cypress saved $600. Caesar and Katie saved $1,200. Hey, how about Robbie in North Houston? He saved $1,900. And all these people, all they had to do was text the word money to 232323, and they got their instant quote, and they saved big on their home insurance. It's that easy. With over 2,000 five-star reviews, this is a legit company you can trust. Simple, fast, easy. You're going to save money, and you don't have to deal with an annoying agent. Are you going to make our leaderboard next week? Let's find out. Text money to 232323. Get your home insurance quote and save big today.
Get low when the whistle goes.
Wheel. Fun. Sports. ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, I have a new favorite Texans player after DJ Bienemy, who writes and reports on the Houston Texans for ESPN's NFL Nation, wrote a nice article about the rookie, Jalen Petrie. Obviously, the local kid got a lot of attention when he was drafted. And at first, it didn't seem like the headline would reveal that much. Oh, he lives with his parents, whatever. When I found out why he lived with his parents, not just because he wants a short commute to NRG, it's because he's cheap. He likes to save money. Quote, his dad said when he got drafted, cut to the chase, Jalen's cheap. He ain't finna be flashy. He wants to look nice, don't get me wrong, but Jalen isn't going to get off the plane with a mink coat. This made me smile. He wakes up at 5 a.m. for practice, wrote DJ, gets dressed, and hops on the interstate for a 20-minute ride to the facility in the same Dodge Challenger he received from his parents his sophomore year of college. Because of his early mornings, he doesn't see his parents that much. His mom's been a bank teller for 21 years, and his dad has worked as a UPS driver for 28 years. I got to say, as somebody who is also a fellow cheap and who likes the best deals and would absolutely live with their parents if they lived here, I like Jalen Petrie.
I feel like a Dodge Challenger, though, is a pretty nice car, so I'm assuming that he's living in some pretty nice, homely confines.
Right? Like, it's not like it's a terrible part of Houston.
I just know that if you have a Dodge Challenger, that your parents have to be doing okay, right?
Like,
if
his mom's a bank teller and his dad's a UPS driver, I wouldn't say it sounds like they're a doctor and a lawyer.
I was going to...
Dodge Challenger, I'm sorry. You're getting your kid a Dodge Challenger?
Okay, so you don't like the heartwarming story of this kid living with his parents?
I think that the Dodge Challenger was bought by his parents, air quotes, when he was in college, and totally not by Baylor booster.
Okay.
I'm willing to bet that.
I think that the Dodge Challenger part of the story makes it a little less heartwarming, but that is pretty cool for Jalen Petrie. I gotta say, though, like, you're crazy to be living with your parents.
Would
you
live with your parents?
No.
Past, like, when you were in college?
I did when I was waiting to get a job that I could actually pay rent with.
Okay, so how long did you live with your parents after college?
5 months, and as soon as I got the job, I was like,
Which job here in Houston?
Yeah. When I mean, I moved to another state, like, to get a job so that I wasn't living with my parents anymore.
Which parents were you living with?
Mom, I was living with my dad.
Okay.
So that was, like, the longest I had lived with my dad in, like, basically, almost 8 years.
What was that like?
We have conflicting personalities because we're very similar, and we get a little bit stubborn, and he's a bit of a neat freak, and I feel like I am a neat freak, but I'm not a neat freak up to his standard. So there would be some confrontations. No, this guy's got to get out of the house. Like, unless you feel 100% comfortable in your dating situation or something like that, like, come on, man. You're an NFL player, and you're living with your parents.
But he's a rookie.
So it's not like
he's a rookie.
It's not like he's a minor league baseball player.
He gets home cooked meals.
That's nice. But it's not like he is a minor league baseball player that's making bleep for money. I mean, he could live in probably most of the nicest parts of Houston outside of, like, the really super fancy places. I mean, you could live in one of those nice high rise apartments. You're in a nice high rise apartment.
I am in a nice high rise.
Yeah. Why would you voluntarily still want to live with your parents?
Because
still,
it's cheap. You save money.
That's the only perk. That
I love this, Jalen Petrie. You've got a fan in me.
We don't know. We don't know that the parents are good cooks. They might not be. You never know. I mean, I'm assuming that is definitely something.
Per the article, There have been some changes that revolves around food. The family still has dinner together, but Jalen eats what he brings home from the facility. As much as he loves his mom's cooking, especially his favorite dish of oxtail, he knows he has to eat like a pro athlete. So now he eats cleaner type of protein, such as fish and chicken, and a lot more veggies and fruits. So his mom isn't even cooking that much for him. He just loves his mom and dad. Paul's like, I could never. Sean?
I couldn't do it.
Okay, all right.
I'm digging through to see what year this Dodge Challenger is to see if it lives up to the cheap test. No hits on that.
Yeah, none yet. I liked this. Again, look it up. It's DJ BNMA. It's a nice look. This Texans team is what it is. So these stories are what we're going to ride on throughout the season, especially when they're not doing well.
I got to say, though, I look, again, he's good for him. It's a cool story. And
it's the girl situation that messes you up, isn't it?
Well, it's not just that. I lived when I first moved here, and I did not have like a regular salary, and I was on call. However, I paid for rent. You know how? I moved to like the cheapest apartment.
How'd that go?
It was in West Chase. Had a couple roach issues, you know, the usual. It was a studio. I was paying $425
a month.
There's
no way that's real.
Because there was a move-in special that essentially was like, you get $200 off a month.
Were you eating?
Yeah, I was eating.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, look, I was very good at cooking for myself. I've always been good at that because that costs a lot less than eating out on a regular basis. I made it work. Wasn't fun, that's for damn sure. I mean, whenever I went out, Josh Innes was buying all of my drinks.
Aww.
Like I never paid a dime for that, and I'm very appreciative of that. But yeah, and I would like spend a lot of my weekend nights playing video games. Then I met my alcoholic friends, and then that changed.
The rest is history.
The bills went up a little bit.
I love it. Jalen Petrie, you've made a fan in me for being cheap and living with your parents. All right, Nathaniel Hackett has made some, would it be fair to say, questionable decisions as his first 2 weeks as a head coach. He said, I need to do better making faster and quicker decisions. That's an article by Mike Florio. What have we seen from Nate Hackett that you guys have noticed?
That he's bad.
What if I told you this man was on track to take care of some of the country's most vulnerable people, a.k.a. people elderly with dementia, Parkinson's, ALS, etc. This man was set to be a neurologist. Sean, you discovered this. You told me about it. I did not know.
Yes. Yeah, so when he got hired, there's all these, you know, articles and such profiles of meet the new Denver Broncos
Denver,
head coach.
Denver, we're on your side.
Yeah. Oh, hey, Nathaniel Hackett. It has what it takes and a lot more is the title of this article.
Oh, no.
Has what it takes.
What are some
and
of the highlights?
More. It happened in the midst of, this is the open, in the midst of a 10-hour lab final. A room full of neurobiology majors donning white coats and rigid looks. They were dissecting animal subjects and the culmination of a long year filled with, as Nathaniel Hackett puts it, quote, real Hannibal Lecter stuff.
Real Hannibal Lecter stuff.
So he was heading to school to be a neurologist. Do you know what college he was at?
I think at Cal Davis.
Okay.
Yeah, UC Davis.
Geez. I have no idea if that's good.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's in the Cal.
It's
system,
impressive.
I guess.
It's no UCLA.
Sure. It's no Berkeley.
It's
either.
No Berkeley either.
Yeah. So he was 22, and up until that day, Hackett felt like he was in his element, a room full of future doctors.
And then he saw that there was a play clock in the operating room.
Yeah. And then he realized, I need to make fast and decisive decisions. So I guess being a brain doctor isn't my stuff.
Does it say what deterred him from being a neurologist and why he ultimately decided to follow in dad's footsteps?
I think it's what you just said. If you could have the choice of being a football coach with some serious allies in the industry, because of your dad.
His dad, by the way, was the head coach of University of Pittsburgh and then University of Southern California.
Versus being someone who's going into a medical field where you have no allies.
8 years of school.
Oh, he has no allies because I just got to the part that led him astray.
Oh, okay. No. Oh, no. You made a very strong reaction
I'm
to this, Sean, behind
seat.
The glass. So I'm did he kill someone?
So that day in the sterile atmosphere of the lab final, he decided to break the tension. He needed to perform. It was just a little prank to loosen things up. Things doctors love are pranks. So what if a white coat gets splattered with a little bit at the next station over, talking about blood and guts that they're working on. Wouldn't everyone work a little better if they loosened up? Quote, people were upset with it, Hackett says. They're like, this is inappropriate, end quote. And it's one of those things where it hit me, oh my God, when you're out on the football field and people are hitting each other and you're messing with everyone and there's all this activity, instead of being locked in a lab, I just realized I can't do arthroscopic surgery in front of 80,000 people. Quote, that moment just pushed me away.
What?
Whose blood was it?
Yeah.
It was like goat blood or whatever.
Okay, but still. That's a little crazy.
All right, I have so many more questions about Nathaniel Hackett and his mind and brain.
Yeah.
Hey, wouldn't it be funny just to splatter a little blood and guts on people? Oh, they don't like it. I guess I'll be a football coach.
And you said he can't perform orthoposic, what is it called, surgery?
I don't know.
Yeah, at that moment, he realized, I can't do arthroscopic surgery in front of 80,000 people.
I can, meaning like I can be a football coach?
No, he's saying I can't because he wants to perform.
Oh,
flash. And he doesn't. He wants a stage of 80,000 people.
He realized he wants to star in Phantom of the Opera, dude? Yeah. Like, what do you mean?
No, he wants to be the head coach of the Denver Broncos, taking three timeouts into every halftime.
Seems like the kind of person based off of this, that when a person goes under the knife, he's like taking selfies with them and putting them in like very weird positions.
Yeah.
Like Seinfeld's dentist?
Yes. 100%. Yes. Like Bryan Cranston playing Seinfeld's dentist.
I mean, good Lord.
Forgotten cameo that Bryan Cranston was the dentist.
Would you trust somebody like, I'm so
I
glad.
I would be the head coach of the Houston Texans.
You don't expect to know this with your doctor.
Correct.
So that,
correct.
There's that. That's for sure.
Yeah, you don't read a profile on them.
I want to read a profile on all of my doctors.
I would say, and I'm not speaking about anyone in particular, but based off of some of the comments and made by some friends, you would be surprised by just how down to earth your doctors are, or maybe how similar to Nathaniel Hackett your
doctors
are.
It's scary.
Yeah, isn't it? Terrifying.
It's a good thing healthcare is so cheap.
The worst coach in the NFL is it could be your doctor.
Yeah, absolutely.
Someone who has a lot of similarities with their worst coach in the NFL.
Hey, there's still time for him.
There is.
There's still time for him to get back because this might not be for him.
What if he loses the whole season?
He's
like
got
he's
options.
Really bad, and then he's like, I realized it was once again my.
Yeah, I'm going to put down my headset and put on the stethoscope again.
Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we're going to recap Monday Night Football. And of course, we got to talk about those Stros clinching the AL West. That's next.
ESPN 97.5.